thank you in Jesus' name. And Lord, you've brought us. God, we're yours. We're your desire. And Lord, we commit it all to you, the power of your might. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles today to Matthew chapter 5. And thanking God for the encouragement that, Lord, thy will be done. Verse 31. Here we go. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But Jesus says, but I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Hang in there now. You might say, what did I come to church this morning for? Oh my. Now these verses have been isolated out for years. You know that? Oh yeah. Often by ones seeking rules for divorce. Whether seeking rules for the green light to exit a marriage, or for those that are, you know, I know there's no one here, but I'm talking about the know-it-alls that, you know, that say, oh my, you know, your spouse has been faithful, so you've got no choice but to leave them. I'd like you to go ahead and read verses 27 and 28 with me now. Same chapter, but we're going to go up a little bit before. Sometimes it's really good to search out the whole Word of God. Not just one verse, not just one thing that you think you're looking for, but maybe the heart of God and what He desires. Verse 27, it says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. I don't want any responses here, but I just want to ask you, how many spouses do you think have committed adultery or fornication according to verse 28? I just want you to think about that. Amen? So I guess when you really consider that, verse 32 takes a whole different light, doesn't it? Amen? Amen. Come on now. Whole Word of God. Let's go on over to Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. Says there, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Well, there it is again. So I know that there's ones that can say, oh my, Jesus is very serious about this. Well, he is serious about this. But I mean, they'll say, no, this is really it. The Lord has said it a second time, and I say, okay, okay. But let's kind of read even this entire chapter, what the Lord has said within this same chapter. Go to verse 16. He says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing I do that I may have eternal life? What a fine question. He came and said, master, what do I need to do to have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, well, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, well, which Jesus said? He said, well, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. Give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. I'm going to ask you something now. Do you need to sell all your possessions in order to have eternal life? You sure? Oh, come on now. What did the Lord say? Huh? Now we know better than that, don't we? He was revealing the heart of the self-righteous. It's exactly what's going on here. Brothers and sisters, have we ever really accepted it is impossible for us to do anything good? Amen. Do you know you can't work one stitch of this truth in your own strength? Do you know it has to be God that does it all? Do you really understand that? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful a long time back. And I do appreciate any time the name Jesus is said in honor and praise. But I remember when I heard and I saw the shirts that came out. Boy, I'm sure they made a boatload of money. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Sounds so good. What would Jesus do? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I knew right then. I don't think about what would Jesus do. I know, you know what? I can't do anything that he can do. But I'll tell you one thing I do know is he came to live in me. And I'll tell you, as I yield to him and allow that love to grow, you know what he does? He causes me to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's not what he would do, it's what he does in me. It's what he does through me by the grace of God. It's amazing what the love of God can cause you to do in your life. I will tell you this, if you're not always standing back in wonder about your life, really, when you really know who you are, and just stand in amazement of Christ in you, you've missed it. Any good that would come, I know it's Jesus. Amen. Oh, absolutely. I was thanking him so much. I've heard people say, oh, brother, it's so wonderful, you know, you become pastor and all of these different things. I said, let me tell you something. You know, don't get some romantic vision in your head that, oh my, you know, it was just such a wonderful desire on my part. You know, I just had this heart set out. I knew Brother Hill's going to go to heaven, and I had to come in there and be this pastor. No one else could, you know that. Oh, just going to come in and make sure this thing continues on and all these things. Oh, God forbid. God forbid. Let me tell you something. I've never looked for one good thing all my life. But the one good thing has had his eyes set on me since ages past. And I praise the Lord every day that I know that it is him. I was able to witness last night. I said, oh, thank God. There were, was at a wedding. And some people knew of, what I did kind of in the past in business. Well, how'd you become a pastor? I said, God called me. Oh, yeah, you know, everybody. I said, no, really, God called me. You know, I said, but I had an advantage, really, by the grace of God, I had an advantage, I believe, over any and every pastor. I'm not kidding. I take that just between me and the Lord. Because when the Lord called me to pastor, I can truly say I didn't know nothing about pastoring. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know about operating, organizing that kind of churches. And all, sure, I had business and all. You can say, well, that spills over in different things. Let me tell you something. God does what God does. But I looked at him and I just said, you know, I know a lot of these pastors, they went to school and they studied and they went to seminary. And I always slip when I say that. It's a tough one. But they go, they do that and they go here and they there and they just get all ramped up and amped up. And, you know, man's got their hands all over them. And I love it because I can say the same thing. I was not ordained of man. I was ordained of God. And I can tell you that absolutely truthfully. And it was exciting because I remember when the Lord truly called me. I'll never forget that time in Mexico as I stood there before him so beautiful. I said, Lord, I don't know what in the world I'm doing, but I know you called me. I know this is it. I know that you've anointed me to do this. And it's going to be wonderful because you know what? I'm going to ask you all the way. I don't want to have one thought by God's grace of anything of my natural being And I mean that sincerely. Coming up here to give the word of God each time, I'm telling you, I don't go trying to find a sermon. That sermon finds me every time. It comes chasing me sometimes early in the week, sometimes right before Sunday. And there it is. This is what I want you to give. And I thank the Lord that that's the way it is. He's teaching me to live my life that way too. It's amazing how it needs to just ripple down through the whole thing. Praise God. But this here is revealing the self-righteous heart, that it is impossible for us to do anything good. Think about who Jesus is speaking here to, brothers and sisters. The Pharisees. The Pharisees are asking him these things. Who are the Pharisees? They're unbelieving, aren't they? Yep. These truly are unbelieving, and as the word of God says, they're swine. And what are they asking for? They're asking for rules. They're asking for rules. They're asking to lay it out for us. And see, what rules are things that you can do. Things that I can go out and do an effort in. That's what the Pharisee of heart always looks for in the word of God. They look for laws and rules. And God forbid, brothers and sisters, any of us would ever look into this wonderful word for laws and rules. That by the grace of God, every time we come in here, all I want, Lord, is more love, praise God, and more grace. And I'll ask you this, which one do you think Jesus is looking for? What do you think God looks for? Amen. Come on. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. If Jesus ever... If he came looking for the law, no one was going to be saved. Zero. If he was looking for law, no one would be saved. Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law. And in fulfilling the law, what he looked for was vessels of mercy that he could bestow the riches of his grace. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? Praise God. See, I thank the Lord. We're of those that knew that we were blind. We knew that we were blind and needed to see. We needed that grace, praise God. We knew, hallelujah, that, you know what, by the works of the law, by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Another sad man. There is my sweet wife. I wondered what she was talking to this elder gentleman about last night that was sitting next to her at the table. And very wealthy man, very religious man. And I appreciate her. Well, she said, well, we can agree on the one thing that God accepts in the one way into heaven. And he said, yes, that we would be a good people. Oh, I know we chuckle, but that's so horrific. It would have been better for him, and this will shock you, for him to say, yes, in order to get to heaven, I need to be a drug dealer. No. It wouldn't be as wicked to God. That dirty self-righteousness. That dirty self-righteousness. Yes, yes. That's the thing that is the most stench, the most stinky, the most filthy to him. Is that we would ever bring anything of our work and not look to his son. Amen. That's why he said, I come to save the lost, the needy. The ones that are the outcasts. Those prostitutes and drunks and all of those. And by the way, you know what? I'm no respecter of person. But I'll tell you what, that eye of the needle is just that. It's easier for that camel to get through that eye than it is for a rich man to get to heaven. I saw it last night. And I could just see how Paul's heart was so hurt to think that this man that had achieved so much in all of these different things, from every bit of evidence, a one-way ticket to hell itself. Because I'm going to be good. Now. Brothers and sisters, I want to be a pastor that points you to obtaining mercy. Amen. Obtaining mercy. All right. I want to be a pastor by the grace of God that encourages you and points you to finding grace in your time of need. So that means, by the grace of God, I'd be a pastor always pointing you to God. I'd be always pointing you to the throne of grace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Where we need to go. Brothers and sisters, more rules do not promote more faith. They don't. More rules are going to bring more bondage. And that is the truth. More of the rules and the law will bring more condemnation, not only for others, but for yourself. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You seek this word. If you seek this word as a handbook instead of a love book. Did you hear that? If you seek this word as a handbook instead of a love book, you will always be unsettled. You will always be cold. You will always lack the one thing that is the only profitable thing for everything there is, and that's love.
Amen.
Go into 1 Corinthians 13. It'll tell you very clearly you could have faith to move mountains, and I hope you do. Amen? You give all your riches to the poor. I pray if you help some people, that's great. You could speak with the tongue of men and angels. You could know all mysteries. You know all the mysteries. You could come in here and recite even all the grace and glory material. But if you don't have love, if you don't have that love, it profits you nothing. Okay. Do you think the Lord wants you filled with rules or grace? Do you think that Paul was a prisoner of rules or was he a prisoner of love?
Love.
Amen. Yeah, we're getting it. But you see, but Paul, by the grace of God, there was a devotion in his life and a thanksgiving in his life that was one of a kind. And it wasn't because he was following rules. Paul was the greatest rule follower before he was saved. There wasn't anybody who kept the law like Saul. But then when he became Paul, his only praise was in the grace of God that was with him. He realized that. He was just thankful for love that came into his life. The love of Christ that came into his life. The love of God that was shed abroad in his heart. And I'm sure by the grace of God, that beautiful testimony of the reality of the Lord working those things in life, they became a testimony to others. I think he followed rules and he was harsh. He followed rules and all he did was go to condemn. But then the love of Christ came into his life and then he could minister to others. You know what, honeys? We don't need that. Be filled up with the Lord and you won't have as much time for the flesh to go being silly. But he didn't go back and condemn him when he was a rule follower. He came back by the grace of God to love him with the love of God. And telling him that if you'll grow up in this word of his grace, if you'll grow up in this truth and love, you'll grow up into Christ in all things. Now, see, if I search this word to be lined up with rules, there's not going to be any love in it. There's not. It's going to be very stale. If the things I do are not motivated by love, the word of God says it profits me nothing. And I'll equate that back to where we started, and that's just it. Marriage is love. Marriage is love. Marriage is not rules. Marriage is love. It's not even a contract. And I was thankful to God when the Lord put this on my heart. I thought, you know, truly, I don't want my sweet wife Polly to be married to me because we have a contract. I want her to be my wife because she loves me. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. See, that's so beautiful to the Lord. He doesn't force anybody. He's never going to force anybody to believe him. He wants you to see his love.
Praise the Lord.
For God so loved the world. It didn't say, so God so judged the world, you better get with it and worship my son. He said, for God so loved the world, I gave my only. I gave him. Thank you, Lord. Huh? I've seen men and women tell their friends that are married, well, he cheated on you, so you got to leave him. You know what? He's going to do it again. You know, I've witnessed in my life some of the strongest, most wonderful marriages I've ever known that have gone through infidelity, and those have been the most marriages with the most love I've ever known.
Amen. Amen.
That's Jesus. Amen. That's Jesus. It really is. And I'll tell you what, that's really the bride. Do you realize, as the Lord calls us into the high calling of God, that as he whispers to us that proposal, do you realize that you're not always faithful, but he is?
Amen.
Do you really realize that? Isn't that wonderful that he always loves us? And as we understand that, your love will grow for him. That even though I am unfaithful at times, he always loves me. Isn't he a spouse? Do you really get it?
Yeah.
Really get this. Marriage is one thing. It is love. I've been married 35 years. I got a son back here who's been married 1 year. Who's more married? You think about that? Who's more married? That's ridiculous. We both are. We're both in love. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the way it is with the Lord. If we're seeking this wondrous word for rules, you'll miss it. I love the word of God. He said, you know what? I took those rules away. The commandment now is love. The realm is grace. And where there is no law, there is no sin. And the sin would be if I would try to wrap my life in the law to be pleasing to God. Have you realized yet that your faith, and I've realized my faith, falls very short of God's best? I mean, completely short of God's best. But his faith, oh, his faith. His faith's marvelous. Let's talk about it for just a second. His faith is liberty. I love that. His faith is joy. His faith always brings joy. His faith is peace, and his love and his faith is beyond anything you could ask or think. His faith brings Bathsheba to a throne through adultery and fornication. That's what his faith does. Ooh. You sit there and go, wow, that's interesting. His faith brings the birthright to Jacob through deceit. Now, people that sit there, well, he didn't need to do that. Well, sure he did, because it's the word of God. The word wasn't changing. Do you understand this? It wasn't like we got to that point in time and the Lord had a different story for Bathsheba and David, or Jacob and Esau. He saw that in ages past because that's his wondrous word that was going to magnify his mercy and his grace.
Amen.
And always have faith in the Lord's desire. Do you understand that? Will you have faith in the Lord's desire? You're the Lord's desire. Can you have faith in God's desire? Hallelujah. His desire is toward me. His desire was to Jacob. His desire was for Bathsheba. It wasn't going to be that wife, Michael, that was going to have it. Well, she was the king's daughter. She was all of this. She had all of the pedigree. But she didn't have the heart.
Amen.
And let me tell you something about the foreknowledge of God. He knows the heart. And thank you, God, for the foreknowledge of God. He knew you, too. He knew you. He knows the hair on your head. He knows your thought afar off. And yet he still knew your heart to still give you this truth, to still have you ready, to still have you singing and waiting for your beloved bridegroom. That's how incredible this is. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to rip these things off my ear. I probably should. Oh, Jesus. Now, who is the Word of God? Think of this. Who's the Word of God, which is our faith? See, the Word, Our faith is full of grace and truth. The word which is our faith is full of grace and truth. Never forget that. That's our precious Jesus. He fulfilled that for us. Rarely do I have two pages. You're in trouble. It's short though at the top. Who's going to win the crown? Who's going to win that crown with precious Paul that he wrote of in 2 Timothy 4? Those that have been hard and fast rule followers? Those that have been and the ones most adhered to the law the best? Or does it say unto all them also that love his appearing? Amen. All them also that love his appearing. I thank the Lord for whispering in my heart all the time, honey, do you realize how free you are? Matter of fact, how free we are. Jesus and me together. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love that. Free indeed. What's not lawful for you, son? I say, oh, nothing, Lord. But I'm so thankful that your love governs me. His love governs me. It's my governor. And that love that governs me, you know what it does? Learned it long time ago from a fella that used to stand up here and dance all around. The love of God makes me love everybody. It does. The love of God doesn't really, it doesn't want me to hurt you. The love of God, my oh my, can even seek peace with all men. And I'll tell you what, he's lying in me more and more all the time. The love of God causes me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Jesus at the well, did he tell that Samaritan woman who was married five times, you get back to your first husband? No. Oh, wait a second. You've been married five times? Now what? Okay, who filed? Well, you know, whoever filed, the divorce is on. Didn't you know how that works? Oh, God forbid. I know we laugh at it, and I'm thankful to God you can laugh. But I'll tell you what, it's put people under a guilt like you can't even imagine. He didn't tell that woman, you get back there. He didn't tell her, you know what, honey? Matter of fact, he wouldn't use honey when he tell her this, but he said, you know, I'm going to read you all the rules and the right act, and you're going to be guilted into doing right things now. No, that sweet woman, you know what? She went back with joy unspeakable and full of glory. She went back there and she said, you know, this man, he told me everything I ever did, and he still loved me. He just wanted me to know that he knew me. He wanted me to know that he knew me. And he still absolutely adored and loved me. He had some disciples with him, and they were even trying to get him away from me, and he wouldn't leave me. He actually left them and said, get out of here. I like her. I want to be with that woman that's been married five times. By the grace of God, I want you to win him. Brothers and sisters, I want to win him. And I'll tell you what, there's only one way, love. That's it. It's just love. It's going to be love. And I thank God, he's encouraged my heart. The one thing we're going to do, we're going to love. Hallelujah. And that's what the word of his grace does. And you know it. And isn't it wonderful how the love of God has been increased? Huh? And not just increased, perfected, completed. More and more all the time. Till Jesus come. No other way but love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your precious word. And We're grateful today. And Lord, thank you again for the love that doesn't let us go. Thank you, Lord, for the love that we can never be separated from. And thank you, Lord, that it's truth and love. You speak that becomes our life, and we grow up into your Son in all things. Lord, without that love, nothing's profitable. Without the love, Lord God, it will be missed. Lord, just increase that love and causing us to will and to do of your good pleasure. That love, true love, in love, it honors the husband. That love causes somehow a vessel to even just abide, I will say faithful, but abide full of faith in the love wherewith we are loved. Thank you again for that, Lord. Thank you that we are of you, and praise God in you, and that you're in us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.